Hello, I'm Dr. David Richardson. I'm a cataract and glaucoma surgeon here in sunny Southern California, which you can see today is not. So I actually elected not to drive and video today because here in California, drivers don't know how to drive in the rain. Now say what you will about Boston drivers, but when I was back there for medical school, they knew how to drive in the rain. So anyway, today I would like to talk about something that's getting a lot of traction in the ophthalmic community. And so I would expect patients with glaucoma to be offered a minimally invasive glaucoma surgery that goes by the name of either goniotomy or trabeculotomy. Now there are two that are getting quite a bit of interest right now. One is gonioscopy-assisted transluminal trabeculotomy, or GAT for short, and the other is Kahuk dual-blade goniotomy. Now, what these both have in common is that a small incision is made in the cornea through which either an instrument, the Kahuk dual-blade, is used to tear open the trabecular meshwork, or a suture or catheter is threaded into the Schlemm's canal and then torn through the trabecular meshwork. So they both are trabecular meshwork destructive. They're both quick, they reimburse well, and so we'll talk about whether they work and some of the issues involved. Now, the interesting thing is that these procedures are actually based on trabeculotomy, goniotomy, procedures that have been around for 40 plus years. Now, the question of course comes up, well, if they've been around for this long, why is this a kind of a new interest? Well, they've been used in pediatrics for this whole time with a fair amount of success. But in adults, after some initial excitement 40 plus years ago, it kind of fell out of favor in adults because the effect did not seem to last. And the thought was that where the suture pulled through, or the instrument pulled through the trabecular meshwork, which is the drainage grate in the eye, or that's generally how it's thought of, that it left little leaflets that could kind of scar down over time. So the effect of a goniotomy or trabeculotomy in adults did not work well long term. In kids, there's actually a membrane that is torn through, and that membrane does not seem to grow back. So that's why it seems to work in kids, whereas it doesn't work so well in adults. Now, a few years ago, it was actually in 2005, Dr. Barvelt and colleagues patented a device called the trabectome. And the purpose of the trabectome was to essentially remove the trabecular meshwork without there being any residual leaflets. So it prevented the opening from scarring down, allowing fluid to get directly into the drainage canal, which is called Schlemm's canal, and then out through what are called the collector channels into the bloodstream. Now, the problem was that the trabectome was a very expensive instrument. I never priced one, but I heard they were around $50,000, and there weren't too many physicians or surgery centers that were interested in paying that upfront cost. Oh, and then the handpiece itself was had to be paid for every single time. So trabectome, for that reason, as well as some others, such as it just didn't seem to work all that well. I mean, it would bring the pressures on average into the high teens, which is okay for somebody who has mild to moderate glaucoma, but it's not really of benefit to anyone with a more severe glaucoma. So that fell out of favor. Then recently, the Kahuk dual blade came out, which is essentially a single use version of the trabectome. So there's no upfront investment, and it removes the trabecular meshwork without leaving any leaflets. So that has gained quite a bit of traction as well. The most interesting thing I find in terms of the recent interest in goniotomy, trabeculotomy, is the gonioscopy-assisted transluminal trabeculotomy. This is essentially the same thing that was done 40 plus years ago. So why is there this excitement now? It involves creating a small incision in the cornea, threading a suture through the trabecular meshwork into the canal, and then ripping it through the canal, very similar to what was done before. There are a couple of reasons why I think that there's interest in it. MIGS, minimally invasive glaucoma surgery, surgery in the angle through small incision, is really exciting right now in the glaucoma treatment community. And pretty much anything that you can do in the angle under a gonio prism in the microscope is of interest. So it is easier to perform this procedure using this gonioscopic approach than it used to be from the outside of the eye, from the sclera. So that's part of it. It's a quick surgery. It reimburses really well when you break it down by the number of minutes it takes and the ease of doing it and the, you know, the limited post-operative risk and complications. And early on, it does seem to work. So the early results look pretty good, but of course they look pretty good 40 plus years ago. So it's probably not going to last that long. We'll see. But there's still the issue of those leaflets sealing down. So it's interesting to me that we've got in ophthalmology, at least among ophthalmic surgeons, kind of this collective amnesia of this procedure not working well in adults 40 plus years ago, but we're all seem to be interested in doing it again now for the reasons I just mentioned. So one might say, well, so what? If you can get a year or so of benefit from a simple, easy procedure that's reimbursed by most insurances, so that's also important from the patient's perspective, why not do it? Why not just rip through the trabecular meshwork? Well, for the same reasons that the trabectome was developed and the Cook dual blade, there's a couple, but there's actually something more involved. It turns out that the trabecular meshwork, what we traditionally think of as just kind of a drainage grate through which fluid motion is restricted, and it is known there's strong evidence that the majority of patients with open angle glaucoma, that is where the restriction to flow is in the trabecular meshwork. So it makes sense to remove the trabecular meshwork, remove that restriction to flow. The problem is that we're discovering that the trabecular meshwork is not just a simple grate. The work of Dr. Murray Johnstone has shown elegantly through videos that you can see on YouTube. There's actually a pulsatile flow of the trabecular meshwork that is in sync with the cardiac cycle. So you can actually see the trabecular meshwork pushing fluid out of Schlemm's canal. The trabecular meshwork is a pump. So if you rip the trabecular meshwork out, you've lost that pumping mechanism, and now you're hoping that just through passive flow that you'll get the same kind of flow out of the system. So that's an assumption that needs to be looked into a bit further. You know, will we still long-term, after ripping out this pump mechanism, still get long-term flow? And again, the early studies done decades ago suggest probably not after goniotomy or trabeculotomy. But there's more. There are other studies that have shown that in and around the trabecular meshwork and Schlemm's canal, there are actually mechanosensory regulators or sensors. So there are microscopic, at the molecular level, proteins that act as strain and stress gauges, and then can have a feedback. So when they detect certain types of strain or stress, they up or down regulate the flow out of the canal and through the trabecular meshwork. So if you don't have a trabecular meshwork, you just have an open system, there'd be no strain or stress, nothing to detect, nothing to up or down regulate. So we're losing that when we destroy the trabecular meshwork. But then there's also something that's quite practical. Regardless of what the laboratory studies show in terms of the function of the trabecular meshwork, There is now a new class of medications, the ROCK inhibitors or the ROCK-NET inhibitors, one of which was just approved by the FDA, which is Rhopressa. The generic name is Notardusil, and that works at the trabecular meshwork. So if you've destroyed or ripped or torn out the trabecular meshwork, there's nothing for this class of medications to work on. And Rhopressa is just the first of what will likely be half a dozen medications that use this or similar mechanisms. So from my perspective, I don't see any reason to remove or destroy the trabecular meshwork when I may need to use that in prescribing a class of medications for my patients. So although I understand why other surgeons are excited about goniotomy, trabeculotomy in the form of either Cohook dual blade or GAT, I personally don't recommend these surgical treatments early on. I prefer trabecular meshwork sparing procedures such as canaloplasty, either the ab externo approach from the outside of the eye or the ab interno approach, which is called ABIC. I generally use the iTrack microcatheter because it has a lit tip that really allows you to see where it's going very elegantly. In any case, I will prefer canaloplasty or say a hydrus shunt to actually shunt fluid into the canal before I would consider removing or destroying the canal. There are times when that procedure does make sense because the trabecular meshwork sparing procedures have failed, and that the next procedure we might be looking at would be a trabeculectomy or glaucoma drainage device, and those have quite a few potential risks and side effects, which I've described elsewhere on my websites, and I may make a video about that at some point in the future as well. In any case, this is a long video, it's a nice rainy day, so I got here to the office early, had some extra time. Hopefully this has been, as with all my videos, useful to you, and have a great day.